Open your Bibles with me again, if you would, to the book of Acts. I got home last Wednesday evening, and I got to thinking about the survey that we did last week in the book of Acts. And I realized, I think, that I tried to condense too much into too short a time. And I fear that that being the case, I didn't do it justice, do the subject justice. Acts is an introductory book. I talked about it being a transitional book last week, and I brought this illustration to your mind. What if you had to go right from one of the Gospels to the book of Romans or one of the other books after that, and you're wondering how they got from Jesus in the temple to the churches of Galatia and so on. And Acts fills in that gap and makes a bridge from the Gospels to the New Testament epistles. Acts is introductory in the sense also that it shows us so much and so vivid exactly what a New Testament church is and what she is to be doing. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we brought this verse to your attention. We then used it as the outline of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That is the outline of the book of Acts, and how that, what we brought out last week, how that receiving of that power, and now that power there in the New Testament, power is translated from two different words. One is something on the order of dunamis, and the other one is exousia. But they come from similar meanings in the sense of power. But in our New Testament, you got to look in a concordance when you see the word power and see which one you're talking about. One is power in the sense of ability, dynamite, power. And one is power in the sense of authority. This one is ability. You shall receive power, ability, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I drew that parallel back to the tabernacle, how that it was in the temple, how that both the structures were built according to God's instructions, and then they were setting their empty structures until the Spirit of God indwelt them and empowered the service there. Acceptable service or worship could be done there until the Spirit of God had taken up residence in those places. And that also was a validation that this is where I will meet with my people, and this is where corporate worship will take place as my people serve me. He says here, now concerning the New Testament church, ye shall receive power. Now remember, this we know to be the New Testament church. And this is the area where I really wanted to deal this evening. The New Testament church, seen in the book of Acts, what it is and how it functions. Remember, this transitional book starts with a church in Jerusalem. And the Lord tells this group, we know from verse 15, the number about 120. He tells this group, you will receive power. You will receive ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that happened, of course, 10 days later at the day of Pentecost. And they were baptized, or simply meaning immersed. It's not as complicated as it's made out to be so often today. They were immersed in the Holy Spirit. And several signs and wonders, we talked about that last week, how that God showed his working with that group by signs and wonders, and that Paul tells us later those have ceased. But back to the real focus, I believe, in the introductory aspect of Acts in the church. I wanted to hold your finger in Acts 1 and come up to Ephesians 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, I've emphasized, and I always emphasize, the role that the apostles played. And in Luke 6, how that he called the apostles. And in 1 Corinthians 12, how that he placed first in the church the apostles. Well, here Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We're talking about the house of God. What do you think he's talking about when we're talking about the house of God? Now in the Old Testament picture you have, God told Moses, "This is where I will meet with my people. This is my house." And what we know then from the Old Testament, tabernacle, and then Solomon's temple, and after that, that corporate worship of God took place in that house, the household of God. Verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles." Here's another passage of Scripture to tie right together with 1 Corinthians 12:28, where 1 Corinthians 12:28 says he placed first in the church the apostles. Here it says built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have these apostles. Now back to the first chapter of the Acts. Notice the heading in my Thompson chain, "The Acts of the Apostles." And in verse 2, as Luke is making his introductory thoughts to Theophilus, and he says he'd been writing, verse 2, "until the day in which he," the Lord, "was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen," verse 4, "being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise." And we read that out of Luke 24. So these apostles represent the charter members of the Lord's first church, and then we know then they took on leadership roles at the church in Jerusalem. We read that in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 41. Verse 42, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." So they were very much in leadership, the charter members of the Lord's first church, that church there in Jerusalem. And they were given authority to go. Remember, before the Lord left the earth in Matthew chapter 28, before the Lord left the earth, there in verse 16, Matthew 28:16 tells us, "Then the 11 disciples," now what did he also call the 12 and now 11 because Judas is out of the picture, the apostles, "Then the 11 went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Now, don't get worried about that word doubted. That word doubted is in other places translated wondered. And here's the scene of Matthew 28, here described as "some doubted." He's appointed the 11 to come and meet with him, and as they're going there, they're asking one another, "What does he want?" You ever been in a situation, I worked in a corporate situation, and once in a while, it would come over the PA, Randy Graber and such and such and so and so and so and so come to the owner's office right away. And right there you go. And you're trying to think, what did I do? What? I don't think I did anything big. And they're walking along, and maybe you bump into one of the other names, and we're walking up the steps. What did he want? I don't know what he wants. Are we in trouble? I don't know. That's what's going on with some doubted. That's all it is. They didn't doubt who he was, none of that stuff. They just wondered. You can cross-reference Acts 2:12. They just wondered what's going on. All right. So they're the 11, they're appointed by the Lord, and they're appointed to come, and he gives them this commission. Verse 19, go. Go and teach. Go and baptize. Teach them to observe. Overview of verses 19 and 20. But he gave them the authority to go. That's what I want you to see. But in Luke 24, he told them, but wait until you be endued with power from on high. And in Acts 1:8, he promises, and when you are endued with power from on high, you will have power or ability. You already have the authority by me. Jesus said to the apostles to go. You already have the authority, and you're about to have ability like you've never imagined. Wait until you get that ability. Don't go in your own strength. All right. So, I brought out last week how that Acts 1:8 is this outline for the chapter, and it is, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you'll be witnesses both unto me both in Jerusalem, right there, Judea, a little bigger, Samaria, a little bigger, uttermost parts of the earth. Just getting bigger as it goes. And I brought out last week also how that is, their focus was first upon the Jew, because that's what they understood. Why would I go to those Gentiles? And yet that was part of God's plan all along. Paul called himself the apostle to the Gentiles. So, they're told to go, they have the authority to go, they have the ability to go, so what do? They stay in Jerusalem until persecution scatters them. Now, I don't know what kind of a time frame we're dealing with, not a great period of time. But the bottom line is, they don't actually start going until they're persecuted. And we read that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen, right there at the end of the 7th chapter. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Notice that's kind of interesting, exactly what the Lord said, Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles stayed back, and they were the leadership of the church there in Jerusalem. But many, many others were scattered, preaching the word. And I brought out how that at first preaching the word to the Jew only. So now they have this church in Jerusalem, the authority to go and preach the gospel, the power to go in the Spirit of God to preach the gospel. They're not going on their own power. They're not going on their own authority. That's what's missing today. And so much, I'll call it freelance work. Self-startup ministries that go
but don't go with the proper authority. Or maybe not even with the proper power, going in their own strength, going in with their own charisma and personality. Okay, I know what it was. That sign fell down again. And so they go under the authority of God and in the power of God, and things begin to explode. Believers are being scattered all around. Now jump up to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. A lot of this is familiar that I've hit by time to time, but I want to tie it all together tonight and show you something that I believe is so important to see. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none only, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now what are we to do? We have believers being scattered abroad, and they're preaching Jesus as they ought to be, told to be. And folks are being saved. That's because they're going not only with the right authority, but they're going with the right power. The Spirit of God's working. He's saving folks. And verse 21, there was a great number that believed and turned unto the Lord. So what do we do with these believers? Well, remember what the Lord said in Matthew 5. Let your light so shine, put it on the candlestick. How's that happen? Become members of the Lord's church. How's that happen? Through scriptural organization and baptism. Look at this, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Notice how the scripture describes this New Testament church in Jerusalem. A very literal body, an assembly of believers. Nothing invisible about it, as you will read a lot of today. Nothing universal about it, as you will read a lot in a lot of articles today. But just a local body of believers, literally there in Jerusalem. That's the kind of church that the New Testament knows about, you see. And tidings of these things, that there were believers in Antioch, came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Notice this last part of verse 22 very carefully. And they sent, the church in Jerusalem, sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. The language of that sentence tells me that the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas specifically to Antioch. He wasn't sent out to go here, there, and yon. Go as far as Antioch. Your destination under our authority is Antioch. He should go as far as Antioch. Well, he does this, and he goes and summons Paul, and they met together. Verse 20. Six, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You now have two churches in the New Testament. You have the first one in Jerusalem, and you have the second one in Antioch. There may have been more, but these are the two that are recorded for us in
Holy Scripture. And how that Antioch got started with that connection back to Jerusalem is very important for us to understand. They didn't spring up on their own. They didn't stick a sign in the ground and say, "We're a church." There was a very literal connection back to Jerusalem, and I will submit to you that the connection is authority. Now you say, well, that's not as clear as maybe it could be. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you brought that up. What happens when somebody teaches somebody something? That's kind of an odd sentence, isn't it? I had never used a walk behind lawnmower like Keith has that you drive with hand triggers. And so he showed me how to do that. It's an interesting thing if you've ever done it. And fortunately, I haven't hit anything too big. And he showed me how to do that. And he showed me how he makes the turns and how he runs the thing. And so guess what? For the most part, I run it just like he does. Because he taught me. And so I carry on basically the way I was taught. Now the gaps that you might see in the Jerusalem church starting the Antioch church are filled in very nicely when we see how the Antioch church operates. Because they then began to function presumably just the way they were taught. And it fills in some of the gaps, and we see that in Acts 13. Acts 13, and as you're turning there, I'll say this. I'm emphasizing this because the rest of our New Testament is based upon our understanding of the church. And we find the church in function and in action here in Acts, the book of Acts. So let's see what we have. We have a local body over there in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch, and then the Bible tells us that Barnabas and Saul, which we know as Paul, began to assemble themselves with the church. Now we have two churches. In the church at Antioch, chapter 13, verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And they list several there. I just bring to your attention that they were in the church. They were serving the Lord in this assembly at Antioch, which, by the way, was started by the church in Jerusalem. There's a direct connection. And there has to be a direct connection because of that little phrase in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "And ye..." The Lord says to the apostles, "And ye," not they in general, ye, the 11, i.e. the first church in Jerusalem, "and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you," there in Jerusalem, there at Pentecost. The promise of God was given to His assembly, not to the design of His assembly. In other words, you couldn't just copy what they're doing. You couldn't just copy their doctrinal position. You couldn't just look from the outside and say, "This is how they function and this is what's going on, so I'm going to do that here," with no connection to them over there, because the promise was given to them, right? And I'm over here. I got to get connected. How do I get connected? The church at Antioch, or the church at Jerusalem, sent Barnabas to Antioch, started the church scripturally under the authority of another church. And then the church at Antioch had folks in it, and they list several there in verse 1, serving the Lord in the church. verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. There's several there, but the Holy Spirit says, separate me, these two. I'm calling these two for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Ghost is the author of this whole thing. That power, that ability that he promised in Acts 1:8. So these folks were serving the Lord in his church, and then they were sent out by his church. That assembly is acting just like the Jerusalem church was acting. They sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. Go as far as Antioch. That's where we're sending you. And now this assembly sends Barnabas and Paul and sends them on their missionary journey. And then at the end of Acts chapter 14, and I brought this out last week, they come back, beginning in verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. Now, that's a neat little phrase too. The work which they had fulfilled. Well, had they reached every believer upon the face of the earth? Obviously not. Paul had two more and maybe three missionary journeys after this. What do you think they meant? They were back there. They were recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. In other words, they had fulfilled the task that they had been given by the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch said, Barnabas and Paul, we feel led to send you X, Y, and Z, and so on. And they go and they come back and they say, we have fulfilled what you have sent us to do. Verse 27. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now in especially Acts chapter 13 and 14, I see church authority. It fills in the gaps that there may be, and I don't even see that big of a gap in Acts 11 as the Jerusalem church sent Barnabas to Antioch. But then Antioch sends Barnabas and Saul on from there. And I don't even see gaps in that, but Acts 13 and 14 fill it out quite well, doesn't it? It shows the authority of the church sending those of its own, going out. No parachurch organization, no extra church organization, just the church sending missionaries out under their authority. They come back and say, we have fulfilled what you sent us to do, and we rehearse all that God had done with them. And then, of course, they go and assemble with other... They go and have another missionary journey after that. But look at Acts chapter... 14, I wanted to look at verse 23. I wanted to bring out something else that's here. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, doesn't say how many they started right here, but there were several. When they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed, and with fasting they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And then they left. You see that? They went back to Antioch. What you need to see in that is that as those churches were started with scriptural authority, Paul encouraged them, and he goes back and he encourages them later, but they are now autonomous bodies. They are self-governing bodies. And you see it then all the way through the Acts. Through the book of the Acts, that they're self-governing bodies. just as the Jerusalem church was a self-governing body. What I'm saying with that is there's no hierarchical system in the New Testament. There's no one church over another church with headquarters at somewhere. It's New Testament church, starts in New Testament church, and it's an autonomous, or in other words, self-governing body. And that self-governing body sent out missionaries, and what did they do? They ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They said, here it is, now run with it. And they left and went back to Jerusalem. Now Paul goes back and encourages, Paul goes back and establishes chapter 16 and verse 5. He's going back, he's encouraging, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased daily. There's several churches now, they are being established in the faith. Paul goes back and answers questions, Paul goes back and encourages, but they are autonomous bodies. One over there in Jerusalem, one over there in Antioch, one over there in Galatia, or there's churches in plural in Galatia. And so on and so forth. That's the kind of assembly that's in the book of Acts, and that's the kind of assembly that the New Testament knows about. And so it's important that we see that here in the book of Acts, because then we're going to get into the epistles, and they will begin to make more sense. As Paul talks about writing a letter to the church at Corinth, and Paul talks about the churches of Galatia and the body of Christ in Ephesus and so on. We know what he's talking about. He's talking about a literal assembly over there and a literal assembly over there. One over there. Self-governing, autonomous bodies. And then when we begin to see that that's the only kind of church the New Testament knows about, the only kind of church the New Testament teaches us, why, it puts a lot of clarity on the subject of what exactly is the Lord's New Testament church. Brother Ryan Austin, I'll close with this. Brother Ryan Austin said, he sent that flyer, or that big full-size color ad, and we have a copy of it over there on the bulletin board, and the caption was, the catch line was, come see the difference. And in that he talked about a New Testament church. And a family had just, it sounded like just the week previous, had been praying, Lord, show us your New Testament church. They didn't know what they were looking for. They weren't sure they completely understood it. Lord, show us your New Testament church. They get the paper, they open the ad, come see the difference, this New Testament church in Cadillac. And of course, they showed up the next Sunday. They're like, thank you, Lord. And they presented themselves for membership, and they're working towards scriptural baptism and being added into that assembly there in Cadillac. And once the Lord begins to make this clear to us, so much of the New Testament comes into so much sharper focus. And so I hope this has been helpful. Lord willing, then we'll move on from here to the book of Romans and then on into the epistles. Let's pray.